Our lesson this morning is out of Psalm 125, verses 1 to 5, God's gracious long-term stability for those who trust in Him. Insecurity is a colossal problem in today's individuals, human institutions of marriage, family, church, government, where individuals struggle to reach a level of peace and prosperity in their lives, especially in a world that tends to seem like it's topsy-turvy in turmoil. Pilgrim Psalm 125, verses 1 to 5, presents in a short but meaningful way the pathway to real long-term stability for God's people. So we view the psalm for our insight and our edification. I'd like to pause for the word of prayer, and then we'll get into the word of God. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you grant us to fellowship around the word this morning. We ask for wisdom to understand the text under the guidance of the Spirit of God, and also to go beyond that and apply it in the power of God, that indeed we might enjoy the blessing of long-term stability in our personal lives and in the institutions that we are in, whether it be marriage, family, church, government, wherever we are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, what we do is we read the text from the King James Version first, and then we translate it from the Hebrew text. Psalm 125, this is a song of degrees. It's a pilgrim song. We'll explain what degrees means in a little bit. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, but the righteous put forth their hands, lest the righteous put forth their hands into iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. Okay, the introductory remarks are part of the first verse, so the numbering system in the Hebrew text happens to match that of the English Bible, unlike it does in a number of other psalms, so we're just staying with the English Bible's numbering system. So we translate Psalm 125, 1-5 as follows. A song of ascents. The word degrees actually is a song of ascents or of going up. The reason for this is Israel had three times a year where all the men of Israel had to meet in Jerusalem. And if you approached Jerusalem from the south, the north, the east, or the west, wherever you did, you had to go uphill. So as these pilgrims would collect for whether it was Pentecost, whether it was Passover, whether it was the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall of the year, as they got closer to Jerusalem, they got closer to one another, and there were big swarms of people that were just, you know, north and south, east and west of the city. And when they got together, they decided to start singing, as people often do when they travel along. So they composed these pilgrim songs, and this is one of them. And it's a song of going uphill, because you're going uphill to worship the Lord. That's why it's a song of ascents. So the song goes as follows. They who rely securely. There are two words for trust. There's a regular word, trust, emet, and this is the word batach. In Arabic, there is a cognate word from batach in Arabic, and that actually means to flatten yourself flat out on a rock, or to lie flat out. And you rely flat out on something that you believe is going to hold you up. So this means rely fully or rely securely. Those who rely securely on Yahweh. Remember, Yahweh is the name for God that he revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush with. The I am. I'm the eternal existing one. Yahweh is the title that God uses, the hat he wears, when he's speaking of fulfilling his Abrahamic covenant to Israel. So those who rely securely on the I Am, or Yahweh, will be like Mount Zion. The word Zion comes from the Hebrew word Sion, which means fortress, which cannot be shaken but remains forever. Mount Zion was actually the original city of the Jebusites that Israel at first did not conquer because it was impregnable, they thought. And so it actually was a fort, and it had to be conquered by Joab going through the water shaft at the base of the city on the outside and going up the shaft and then defeating the people on the inside. But other than that, it was an impenetrable fortress. And so for the psalmist to say that they're like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but remains forever, is emphasizing security and stability. Now, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, and there are mountains surrounding it, so Yahweh, or the I Am, surrounds his people from now on to eternity. So you have the picture not only with Mount Zion itself, but then you have the mountains surrounding Jerusalem to encompass a larger area, so God surrounds the larger area of all of his people. So, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so Yahweh surrounds his people from now to eternity. That's tremendous truth, not only now, but forever. That talks about God who is eternal. For the scepter of the wicked will not rest on the land that is allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do evil. The thought there is that the wicked may rule over the land temporarily, but not it won't rest. God won't tolerate it to be forever, because that could cause the righteous in the land to stretch out their hands to do evil, and God doesn't want that to occur. Verse 4, do good, O Yahweh, or I Am, to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn aside to crooked ways, Yahweh will lead away with evildoers. And the leading away is leading away into judgment. And then finally, peace be upon Israel. So we note significant observations regarding this psalm as follows. The psalmist revealed that long-term stability is the product of one's relying securely on Yahweh. There's a tremendous application in this claim. No person has the strength within himself to be stable long-term, nor will he find such stability by relying on other false crutches. Sometimes they rely on the crutch of a nation that is around him, or the crutch of a family or extended family or whatever. For lasting stability, all believers must rely securely on Yahweh. Yahweh is the I Am of Exodus 3, who miraculously rescued helpless Israel from Egypt. If you go back to Exodus chapter 3, where you have God revealing himself as Yahweh, at the time Israel had been for several hundred years in bondage to Egypt. They had cried out to Egypt. They were helplessly under the domination of the Egyptians as a nation. They had all run out. Then the verse tells us there in Exodus chapter 2 near the end that God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The covenant was 400 years old. So God decided, I'm going to fulfill my covenant. So he goes ahead and he gets Moses. Now who's Moses? Moses has fled from Egypt. He burned out 40 years before. He's fled from Pharaoh. He feels that he's a washout. And God gets this so-called washout who doesn't have any self-esteem at all at this particular point. And God says, all right, I want you to go back to Pharaoh and tell my people to go. And Moses says, no, get somebody else. I'm not interested in this. And God says, no, you're going to go. But they won't listen to me. Oh, I'll make them listen to you. You go. So he did. And God used Moses through a tremendous series of miracles that critiqued the false gods of Egypt. And then the final miracle of opening up the Red Sea, causing the nation Israel to go through, and then with the most powerful chariot army in the world at that time, that part of the world, chasing them into the Red Sea, and then Moses stretching his rod out and God closing the sea over that chariot army and to destroy it. So that Israel was rescued without even having to lift a sword. That's the power of God, and that's the kind of God we need today. There's a mistake, especially amongst men, and I say this as a man, and men in our culture. Men feel that they've got, in order to succeed, they've got to make themselves appear tough to everybody else around them. So there's this tendency to sort of dominate and to be bullish. That is actually a form of weakness. What we need today is what we had in our country years ago, where men were strong, but they were strong because they relied on God. And their reliance was on God so they could relax. They could afford to be gentle and kind and considerate of people around them. That's what we need. But we need men who are men of faith, who trust in God. And when that happens, it dramatically affects them, it affects their wives, affects their families, affects their church, affects the government and the nation. That's what we need. And I really say this, that if you could get every man in this country in right relationship with God, it would dramatically affect the entire nation. In effect, affect the world. But that's what we need. And of course, this follows women and wives, mothers do this, children, and so forth. For lasting stability, all believers must rely securely on the I Am of Exodus 3, who miraculously rescued helpless Israel from Egypt. Now, Mount Zion carries the meaning of fortress, the initial Jebusite stronghold that David defeated to make into his capital. So the picture of one being like Mount Zion that cannot be shaken but remains forever signifies the long-term stability of the one who trusts securely in the Lord. This isn't just a temporary security. This is a long-term thing. It goes on and on. That's what we need today. Broadening the application from individuals who trust the Lord to the people of Israel as a nation, the psalmist changed the illustration to show that as the mountains surround the city of Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds Israel as a people from now to eternity. The concept of God's protecting his people Israel for eternity doubtless refers to the Abrahamic covenant back in Genesis 12, 1-3 that has yet to be completely fulfilled in the messianic kingdom that is coming and the following eternal state. In Isaiah 66, 7-24, you have reference to the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant in, first of all, God giving Israel the worldwide nation. It's a nation that she's going to have, Israel will have, and it will have an empire that stretches around the world. We've never had anything like that. But Israel will be that major nation, and all the others will be subject to it. The Gentile nations are subject to it. And then there will be peace worldwide. And that nation is going to be ruling. And then we go into the eternal state. The last three verses of Isaiah chapter 66 talks about the eternal state. That, incidentally, in Isaiah 66, 24, you have the first reference to hell, of eternity, of God judging those who, forever and ever, who have rejected him. There are some scholars who say the idea of hell was something that was created by the apostles and so forth, but that's not true. That actually goes way back, Isaiah 66, 24. This is a concept that has been around for a long time. So, that's the truth. Drawing hope from God's Abrahamic covenant, the psalmist claimed that the rule of the wicked will not permanently rest on the promised land that God allowed it to the righteous, lest the righteous be influenced to copy their wicked rulers who stretch out their scepters to do evil and turn themselves to stretch out their hands as subjects of the throne to do evil. In Esther 5:2, when Esther wanted to have an audience with the king, she took her life into her own hands and appeared in the presence of the king. And if he did not hold the scepter out to her, she would have been executed because she was there as a non-invited guest. But when he held the scepter out to her, it means he accepted her request. And so holding out the scepter is a picture of a ruler demonstrating his power. And God does not want people who are righteous under ungodly wicked leaders to stretch out their hands and others to exercise what authority they have to do evil just like the leaders over them. Now the application to our area, we can trust that God will not allow the secular rulers of our world's nations to function in ways that unalterably lead God's people influence to copy the rulers' sins so that they also do evil. So there of necessity must be a platform or a clearing where those who trust God can live righteously regardless of their evil rulers. I don't know if you listen, but I've listened a lot to talk radio, especially conservative talk radio that we have in our country today, and there's always this constant concern by these talk show hosts about the wickedness that is in government and how it might be influencing people under them. The solution is recognizing God. If we know the Lord as our Savior, God works through us and he gives us opportunity to have a platform or a clearing where we can still trust and obey the Lord in spite of what's going on around us. Isabel Kuhn wrote a book, I think it's Green Leaf in the Dry, or something like that. She was a missionary to China when the Chinese, the communists, took over China. And then she had to flee from inland China for back to the United States. Isabel Kuhn's husband, incidentally, attended Dallas Seminary briefly. That was my alma mater years ago. But she wrote this book, and she has a tremendous testimony there. She was going, there were the communists, and the communist soldiers were all around, and they were fleeing for their lives. But she said the Lord always provided opportunity for us to be able to do His will. There was always a platform. There was always a clearing. And she testifies to that fact. So we need to keep that in mind. Also, the Stams, I think it was George or John and Betty Stamm. The communists captured them and led them out, or wanted to lead them out to be executed by a bridge. And Betty Stamm had a little baby girl at the time. So what she did, the only thing she could do as a mother, she left her baby there. She had a full bottle of milk, left her in a blanket, and then went out with her husband, and together they were shot to death by the communists. There's a huge story as to how a believing Chinese woman picked up this baby and cradled it and took it, and they passed this baby from a believing Chinese to believing Chinese, and they got this baby out to the authorities and got her apparently to Hong Kong. And then she was sent home to the United States. And that daughter, I believe, is still alive. It's amazing how, I mean, this mother and father, they knew they were going to be martyred, and the mother had no choice. She had to go. The gunman was there. Fortunately, he left the baby alone, but she did the best thing that she could do for a baby and left that baby's future with God and went out and was shot to death by her husband, with her husband. And but the Lord took care of them and took care of that child. God wanted that child to live. He allowed the parents to be martyred. So God is very, very powerful. He will create a platform, a room for His people. Number five, the psalmist asked the Lord to do good to those who were upright, for he was confident that God would lead those who turn aside after crooked ways to be led away in judgment along with the evil rulers of the land. In the end, there will be peace on the nation Israel. In reference to that platform, I'm thinking of another wonderful verse. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "For there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or not tolerate you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." So in other words, there is always a trap door that God offers in every situation that He allows us to face, so that if we go with the trap door, then we avoid the issue of sinning. So the lesson is, real long-term stability for the individual believer or for believers as a group results from the believer or believers involved coming to rely securely on the Lord. There's no other way towards that kind of stability. Only God can and will deliver His people from wicked rulers and their negative influences on His people. So His people must not try to establish their own stability by their own means, regardless what they face, but always fully rely totally on the Lord. So an application to gain real long-term stability in our personal life, marriage, our family, our church, society, our nation, or world, and that regardless what we face in our experience to the contrary, may we rely securely upon God alone. When I was a boy growing up, actually a teenager, I was as a boy we were out in Africa, but my parents are missionaries in Nigeria, but I was in the States. I went to a Baptist church, and often in the evening you would have time where there would be singspiration, but people could stand up and give their testimonies. And I remember listening to some of the elderly people at the time. They had gone through the Great Depression. They had gone through World War II. They had gone through the Korean War, all right? And at the time we were getting ready, we were into the Vietnam War. And it was such a privilege to listen to these people say, you know, we've always found the Lord to be our refuge. We've always found the Lord to be our strength. I remember when we didn't have any money for food during the Great Depression, or we didn't have any money for clothes or whatnot. And they would testify, and they would quote Bible verses that they had used and how the Lord had blessed them and kept them through. That was a tremendous faith booster for me when I was 16, 17, 18 years of age, hearing these dear saints of old tell. Of course, these people are with the Lord now. But I'll never forget Mrs. Owen. She was a widow lady. Her husband had been a lawyer. And she always wore a black little hat with a net, you know, and the net come down here. And wore heels that were not completely high, but partway. It was the old style, going back to the 20s and 30s. And very proper, you know. She dressed proper. She very neat and so forth. But she would get up, and she always referred to me as young man, you know, that kind of thing. But what a dear this dear lady was, a woman of faith who loved the Lord. And she would often testify of God and of his provision for her and for us. And it really built my faith up. And that's the kind of thing we need. We need people like that today who rely upon the Lord entirely. And he sees them through whatever they face and whatever their country faces and the world faces. Okay, we've gone through the lesson so far. If you had any questions in regards to the lesson,